Word on Fire is brought to you by Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Chicago area since 1837.
This is Cardinal Francis George, and I invite you to join me for the next few minutes to reflect with Father Robert Barron on the Word of God, which is the Word on Fire. Father Barron will challenge us to open our hearts to the Word on Fire, which is God's Word of love for each of us. If our hearts are open, the Lord can change and transform us, so that we might speak with love about the one who is love. The Archdiocese of Chicago, through the generosity of Sacred Heart Parish in Winnetka, now presents The Word on Fire.
Peace be with you. Well, friends, I'm back here in Chicago after 3 months away. I don't know if you noticed, but the last few months we've been playing some homilies from past years, but now I'm back in the saddle after 3 months at the North American College in Rome, where I was privileged to be a visiting scholar. Had a wonderful time, and I'm sure some Roman stories will find their way into my sermons coming up. Well, it's Trinity Sunday. I've always loved Trinity Sunday, partially because I'm a theologian by training, but also because it just gives us a chance to reflect on God. And there is nothing more important. Now, I realize how abstract and irrelevant this can seem in our results-oriented, very pragmatic culture, but finally, everything else comes down to how we think about God. This is the question. This is the most important thing for us to try to get our minds around. And Trinity Sunday gives us the opportunity, the permission, if you will, to think seriously about God. The first reading for Trinity Sunday is worthy of some careful attention. Most of us, I would guess, if pressed, have a basically deist and Unitarian understanding of God. What I mean is, most of us probably think about God in our culture as a distant and lonely supreme being who ordered the world, set it in motion, and then more or less left it alone. But what a different picture the Bible gives. First of all, the biblical God is not the deist God of the Enlightenment. Not the God of Jefferson, Locke, Franklin, and Kant, people that massively shaped our own culture. No, no, the biblical God is intimately involved in creation. The biblical God brings the world continually into being, governs it, provides for it, broods over it, as Gerard Manley Hopkins so beautifully said. The God of the Bible is closer to the universe than the universe is to itself. We find this intimacy beautifully expressed in Psalm 139. O Lord, you search me and you know me. You know my resting and my rising. All my ways lie open to you. There's nothing of the deist God in that language, is there? The distant God hovering far above the world, indifferent to it. There's none of that. You also see it expressed in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, the Father knows what you need, even before you ask. And every hair on your head has been numbered, and not a sparrow falls to the ground without your heavenly Father knowing it. That's how intimately involved God is with the world. Thus, deism is ruled out by the biblical witness. But so too is Unitarianism, the view that God is unambiguously and simply one. How prevalent that view is, especially in our American culture, even those who would never say for a second, I'm a Unitarian, but practically speaking, how common this view is. And this brings us now to the heart of Trinity Sunday. Now, let's look at that first reading that I alluded to. There's a very strange and surprising figure who speaks in today's first reading. It's taken from the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Listen to how the reading begins. Thus says the wisdom of God. It's curious, isn't it, that an attribute of God seems to be speaking. The wisdom of God. Well, would I say that my wisdom speaks? I'd say, no, I have wisdom. You have intelligence. But here, the wisdom of God, which is the same as God, because all of God's attributes are the same as God, nevertheless speaks. Nevertheless is a person endowed with intellect, imagination, and will. This means that in some way this figure is the same as God, and yet in some other sense is other. Listen now as this figure goes on. The Lord possessed me, the beginning of his ways. Again, that very odd ambiguity. The speaker must be other than the Lord in one sense, since he's possessed by God, yet identical, since he's present from the very beginning of his ways. Then these remarkable utterances. Listen. From of old, I was poured forth at the first before the earth. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was brought forth. Curious, isn't it? Strange, isn't it? Here's a figure who is brought forth from God in one sense. But how? From the first, before earth, before the depths, before the mountains and hills. Now, for ancient Hebrews, ancient Israelites, the depths of the sea, the hills, the mountains, the earth itself, these are the most elemental features of creation. The foundations, the oldest things there are. Whoever this figure is, who is coming forth from God, is nevertheless older than, more elemental than, even the most elemental features of creation. Listen now as this figure continues to speak. When the Lord established the heavens, I was there. When he fixed fast the foundations of the earth, when he set for the sea its limit, then was I beside him as his craftsman. This speaker, who comes forth from God, is nevertheless not any of the things in the universe, not even the most fundamental. In fact, is the means by which God creates. The eternal craftsman of the universe. In one sense, this speaker who comes forth from God is himself the creator, the inner delight, the very wisdom of God. This is very peculiar, strange, odd, disconcerting language. Can I signal a place in the Bible where we hear an overtone of this eighth chapter of Proverbs? Go back to the very beginning of the book of Genesis. It says, in the beginning, when God created, he said, let us create man in our own image and likeness. Let us. This is now the beginning of creation. This is God alone creating. Yet God speaks to some other. Speaks of some other. Who is yet not part of creation, who is prior to, more primordial than creation. Is it this wisdom of God of which Proverbs speaks? Now, with this Old Testament background in mind, flash forward to the New Testament. and to this figure of Jesus. There is something absolutely remarkable and peculiar about Jesus. Like Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, or David, he's been sent by God. He speaks often of the one who sent him. He's the one who's been sent into the world. Well, so far, so ordinary. He's one more prophet, it seems. However, this sent one, at the same time, speaks and acts in the very person of God. As I've said before, these words of Jesus would take the breath away from people who first heard them. Unless you love me more than your mother and father, you're not worthy of me. Well, who could say that? Except the one who is himself the highest good. My son, your sins are forgiven. Who could say that? Except the one whose very nature it is to forgive sins. You've heard it said, but I say, who could speak with that kind of authority? You've heard it said in the Torah, but I say, I've got greater authority than the Torah. Who could say that coherently except the one who is himself the author of the Torah? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. Only someone who is speaking and acting in the very person of God can say such things. Huh. This Jesus seems to be someone who in one sense is sent, and yet in another sense is identical to the one who sent him. What begins to dawn on the first Christians is that this Jesus is the incarnation of the very figure who spoke in the book of Proverbs. That perhaps this Jesus is not simply one prophet among many, but is himself in person this wisdom of God, this craftsman who played in the presence of God from all eternity. Sent from the Father, yes, but in one very real sense identical to the Father, since both are God. Now listen to the prologue to John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Whom is he speaking of? He's speaking of this same figure that speaks in Proverbs chapter 8. This Logos, Word, Wisdom of God, who is God, through whom all things are made. And John goes on, it is this Word that became flesh in Jesus. Friends, this is the ground of the unique Christian understanding of God. That there is in the very heart of God a play of sender and sent, of Father and Son, Father and Logos. And these two figures, Father and Son, look at each other in all their perfection, and they sigh to each other their mutual love. And that mutual love is the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Spirit, one God in three persons. This is not deism nor Unitarianism, but this distinctive and unique Christian understanding of God. What we celebrate on Trinity Sunday. And God bless you.
I hope that you were moved today by the Word on Fire. I pray that, together, we might become a people on fire with love for God and neighbor here in Chicago and wherever these words are heard. Until we join Father Barron again next week, I'm Cardinal Francis George. God bless you.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.